Hey guys, it's Melissa here from melissaoatman.com. Welcome to another episode of Awaken Your Inner Awesomeness, a weekly podcast devoted to all things spirituality and self-improvement. I'm so delighted you're here with me today, and I have some exciting news. I just released my second book called Beautiful Morning. It is a guide to life after loss. It is part memoir of my journey losing my mom to pancreatic cancer 2 years ago, and it's also a guide filled with tips on how to work through the grief process with more grace and ease. It is available on Amazon. I'm very excited. And I thought in celebration of the release of this book that today's episode would be about grief. Now, we have all experienced grief at some point in our lives. You experience grief when you lose a job, sometimes, unless you hated that job, or a relationship. When we lose an actual person that we love to death, there's so many different ways that we can experience grief. And for some of us, I know myself included, I'm experiencing a little bit of grief at going through the aging process. I am at a point in my life where a lot of things are changing that I don't like. My body is changing in ways that has never changed before, and it's a mystery, and my doctors have been no help. They just say, yep, that's part of the aging. You just have to get used to it. I've learned more watching TikTok than I have from my own doctors about how to really have relief that comes from going through menopause. But anyway, the point is, we can grieve for a lot of things, and loss of vitality and health is definitely a reason to go through grief. So I wanted to talk today about how you can get through grief a little bit easier. And of course, my book goes way more into detail about this. And I also talk about my own story of losing not only my mom, but I also lost my ex-husband to suicide in 2020. Yeah, it's 2020 now. So I talk about my experiences with that. And if you've ever lost anyone to suicide, it is such a shocking and painful thing. And there's a lot of resources in that to help you get through that, because it's just so unnatural. And again, I think shocking is probably the number one word I would use to describe that. And the pain that comes from that can be extremely difficult to navigate. So first of all, I want to say this, anyone who is going through the grief journey, the grief process, and spoiler alert, if you've lost a loved one who was really close to you, you're probably still going through it even though it happened years and years and years ago. That's just how it works. But the first thing I want to say is that grief does not have an expiration date. There is no date where you're going to feel better. And the fact that it is a journey and a process means that you're going to be going through things several times. You may feel like you've gotten better and then something happens and it triggers you and you go right back to that grief again. And that's okay. It's perfectly normal. There are healthy ways and unhealthy ways to deal with grief. And that's really what I want to talk about and express today. Because I think this is what I want to get across to people more than anything is you have to face your grief. You have to address it. There's so many people, and I had a personal experience with this. My brother did not want to face it. I love him to death, but he was really just trying to avoid it and push it down. And you absolutely cannot do that. And I watched him self-destruct right before my very eyes. And he's just now realizing all of the ways he did that and is having to put his life back together again at 50 years old. You have to face those emotions. You cannot run from them. And there's so many people, and I understand why you want to do it. I do. We want to run from those painful emotions because you just don't want to have to experience it. We just don't want to have to feel it. But I'm here to tell you, you're never going to heal a thing unless you feel it. You have to go through those painful things in order to heal them, to process them, to get to the other side of that pain. Now, there are things you can do and healing modalities that you can use that help you do this in an easier way. And when I say that, what I mean is there are things you can do like energy healing, you can do biofield tuning, all of those things, and you're still going to feel it. Don't get me wrong, you still have to feel it and process it, but with those particular modes of healing, it's like it all comes out at once. And it's like a much more intense. And I don't mean this in a bad way, because it actually feels amazing when you're done with it. It's like a purge. You just start purging all of these old emotions and layers of things that were there. And then afterwards, it's like, huh, I feel relieved. I can breathe again. I don't feel so heavy. You have to work through that. Now, most people prefer just to do it in a gradual way, and that's wonderful too. That's another thing I would like to say, is however you decide to process your grief is perfect for you. There's no set way that you have to do it. I will again reiterate that there are healthy and unhealthy ways. The unhealthy ways include avoiding. And we avoid by turning to substances. So we drink, we do drugs, we engage in unhealthy sexual contact with people and get in unhealthy relationships because it's a distraction. Getting into a relationship really quickly and like just clinging to someone, that you have like a toxic trauma bond. And when you do that, it's so unhealthy and it's not going to help you process that pain. In fact, in my own experience, you're going to end up having more and more pain because you've gotten into this relationship that's so toxic and unhealthy, it's going to cause you more pain. So I'm trying to tell you, don't run from those heavy emotions. Don't try to avoid them. You cannot do that. You can try all you want. The only thing that's going to happen is you're going to have negative things happen. So if you're addicted to drugs and alcohol, that's going to affect your life in negative ways. It's going to affect your health. It's going to affect the people around you and the relationships to the people around you, because if you're just completely in self-destruct mode and you're drinking and you're doing drugs, you're going to hurt those relationships. You're hurting the people around you. And I always say this, I did not make this up, but I say it a lot. If you don't heal your wounds, you're going to bleed all over people who didn't cut you. And it's true. You act out and you end up hurting the people closest to you because you think they're always going to be there for you. And most of the time they will be. But you're really, really straining that relationship. And I know in my own experience with what happened with my brother, that relationship was never quite the same again. Doesn't mean it can't ever be, but it's going to take a while to build that trust. And that's the same thing that'll happen with you and your relationships if you are self-destructing. It is important for you to face this head on. And I know it can be scary. And I know those feelings are heavy and you don't like it. I understand. I really do. I've been through more grief in my life than I care to imagine. But what I have learned is you have to process it, because those unprocessed emotions become stored in the body. They make us sick. They also cause us to self-destruct. We self-sabotage without realizing it because we haven't dealt with what we've experienced. So facing it head on. When you feel sad, allow yourself to feel that. Yeah, I'm sad. And there are, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross came up with the 5 stages of grief. They've been reimagined to now have 7 stages of grief. And as you go through each stage, I want people to understand it's not linear. It's not like tomorrow I'm going to go through anger and then next month I'm going to go through this and then I'm going to go through. That's not how it works. You move back and forth through the stages, and you can several times, and some people skip stages. It's just a way for people to understand what happens when you grieve. But there's anger and there's denial and there's guilt and there's all of these different things. It's important to acknowledge what you're feeling, and what you're feeling is valid. And I know in my own experience, when I was going through the anger stage, I was just mad at the whole world. And I'm like, her doctor sucked. Why did they have to do this? And they didn't treat her the right way. And I had friends and family who were like, they did everything they can. Like, you're overreacting is basically what they said. And that made me even more mad. And what I want to tell you is, even if your emotions feel irrational, acknowledge that you're feeling it. They're valid. It's valid that you're angry, though you can't control how you feel. You need to accept it and look at it and say, okay, I feel angry and I don't know what to do with this anger. It's okay. In the book, I take you through the process of exploring that anger. Ask yourself, you know, what is this all about? Because my anger boiled down to the fact that it felt like everything was out of my control. and it felt like maybe there were more things that I could have or should have done to help save my mom. And when I sat with myself and really looked at this pain and this anger, what I realized was that it was out of the lack of control. I did everything that I possibly could, and it wasn't enough. And I had to accept the fact that no matter what I would have done, I did not have control over this situation. It was out of my hands. And I think for many people, that sense of helplessness is scary. And it reminds us maybe of when we were kids and we were in situations where we didn't have control and that scared us. And I really think that that was opening a wound for me that I had had from my childhood. And it was okay for me to be angry. And no matter what other people said, that invalidated how I was feeling. You know, I went to grief counseling and my counselor said, it's okay to be angry. She said, you have a right to be angry. It's okay that you feel that way. And maybe the doctors didn't do everything. And she said, you know, they're human too. And they try. And it doesn't mean that I have to hold this grudge against the doctors. I can just acknowledge the fact that, hey, it wasn't handled properly. There's nothing I can do about it. It was out of my control. I have to work through this anger and let it go. And maybe that's something you need to sit with. So whatever it is that you're feeling, allow yourself to feel it. Don't try to stuff it down. And you're going to have triggers. And here's the other thing. Sometimes they happen in the most public places, and that can be embarrassing. And I understand that too, because I had an experience where I went to the doctor's office after my mom had passed away. And they said, hey, review your contact information and update it. And she was my emergency contact, and I lost it. I just started sobbing right there at the front desk. And the woman had to bring me a box of Kleenex. And I said, I'm sorry, I feel so stupid, but my mom just passed away and I need to change this contact. And she said, it's okay. It's all right. So give yourself grace and grief, you know, for your grief and wherever you grieve, because it happens and you don't have a way to say, I'm not going to grieve today. It would be nice if you could just shut it off, but you can't. So allow it to come. It's okay. I know you don't want to feel sad, but it's really necessary. Because when you work through that and you say, okay, allow the sadness, it's letting it out of your body. And it feels so much better when you do that. Another thing I want to mention is to take care of yourself, because this was one of the areas that whenever my mom passed away, I stopped doing self-care. I just didn't feel like it. I didn't want to. And I know part of that was a depression. But it's important that you make yourself participate in the world again. You have to fake it till you make it sometimes. And I know you don't want to hear that, but you really do. Isolating yourself will not help. You need human contact. You need to get out there again. I highly recommend going to counseling or even coaching. If you don't like the traditional counseling, even a coach can help you work through it. You need to have somebody you can talk to. And I know a lot of people say, I don't want to burden my friends and family. So don't. So go to a counselor or go to a coach or go to someone that's trusted that you can talk to help you work through those emotions. Because really speaking about it helps. And if you don't want to talk to a person, write, journal it, or say it out loud, just speak it. Getting it physically out helps you to process it so much. We have to be able to let it go. And this grief, I read somewhere, someone said, you know, the grief is going to last forever. Like, you don't ever get over the loss. And that's true. But they didn't mean you're going to be sad and all. That's not what it meant. It just meant that loss is always going to be there for you and you're always going to feel it from time to time. But it can get, the emotions can become less burdensome for you. And you can eventually choose like, okay, I'm going to grieve here, I'm going to grieve there, because it won't be so overwhelming for you. And it's important for you to do that. And that's why if you're really stuck and you're having a hard time, my book, Beautiful Mourning, is really designed to help you work through it. I give you some tips for things to do to help you get that out, to work through that emotion. I talk about in my first book and in this book about a time we went to a drag show. And there was a lady there. She was part of a bachelorette party, which is supposed to be fun, right? You're supposed to be having a good time and partying, and she was crying the whole time because she was going through a divorce. And I get it. Hello, bachelorette party. Why don't you just throw that in her face, right? Someone else is celebrating getting married, and she is going through a divorce. What an awkward thing. But she cried the entire time. And then one of the drag queens kept picking on her, and we're like, can you stop it? She's not having a good time, and this is not the time or place. I know you're supposed to be mean and joke with people, but pick somebody else. And literally, this drag queen would not leave her alone. And I felt so bad. My point in telling this story is that this poor woman probably hadn't had a chance to process her emotions or what she was going through. Once you've had a chance to do that, then things like that, while it might still be a trigger, it's not going to cause you to sob and break down necessarily because you've gone through the emotion. And if you do sob and break down and you've already gone, it's okay. Like, you're human. But the purpose in going through this grief processing is so that you don't break down every time you see your loved one's name or your ex's name or a wedding or whatever. That you can get to a place where you see it and you're like, oh, you know, it makes me a little sad, but it's okay. Like, I feel okay with it. Because in the beginning, like, just seeing my mom's name would make me lose it. And now, like, mail shows up all the time for her and her name, and I'm just like, okay, you know, and I smile thinking about her. There's a big difference in how you react once you've processed that grief. So it's really important to acknowledge what you're feeling and to work through it. And if you want a more step-by-step guide on how to do that, again, highly recommend purchasing my book, Beautiful Mourning. And also, I have a friend, Lori Latimer. She has a wonderful podcast called Grief with Grace, and she helps people also to work through that grief process. So get your copy of the book, go listen to that podcast. It's really important that you sit with this emotion, you process it, you work through it. You know, grief is teaching us a lesson. It really is. It teaches us not to take life for granted, to always appreciate those who are around us and to love them and to make memories with them. You know, the stronger your grief is, it means the stronger your love was. And that's a beautiful thing. And it's always worth it in the end to love someone, even if in the end, that love hurts because they're gone. I wouldn't trade that for anything. I would never say I don't want to have this person as my mom if I knew she was going to die and leave me. No. I would say I'm so glad I picked her, and I would pick her again because the time that I spent with her, the 46 years I had, well, I'm sorry, it wasn't 46 years, I'm 46 now, the 45 years or 44 years, however many it was, that I had with her were amazing. And I wouldn't give that up. That's what we need to hold on to, is what we had, and learn to appreciate it. And another thing that's helped me is to realize that I'm grieving for myself. My mom is no longer in pain. She is in a beautiful place where she's no longer limited by a body that betrayed her. And she's experiencing wonderful things. So I need to be joyful for her. I need to look past my own pain sometimes and realize that this is a beautiful thing and I will see her again. And if I focus on that, it makes it just a little bit easier to get through. I tell this story in my book, but I will never forget. We were in the hospital. We had made the decision to turn off the machines for my mom. And she had just passed away. She had a minister that she wanted to perform her ceremony. She already knew who she wanted. And I called him and let him know that she had passed away and that I would like for him to perform the service. And he said to me in that moment, he said, "Oh, Melissa, what she must be seeing right now." And that brought me comfort. I was feeling so sad and lost at that moment. And when he said that, it was like all my selfishness, all of the pain and the hurt that I was feeling left my body because I realized in that moment, my gosh, she's having a wonderful, joyful reunion. She's celebrating. And I need to appreciate that fact. And that really helped me to bring that perspective back to me. Even though it was hard, and it didn't mean I wasn't going to miss her, I realized that even if I could bring her back, I wouldn't, because I didn't want to see her suffering anymore. Suffering is a human condition, and once we get to the other side, there is no more of that. So I was happy for her and rejoicing for her homecoming. And it's hard to not be selfish, but if you could just get out of your own head a little bit, or out of your own heart, because truly that is what is hard to, it's hard to make our hearts understand. But if we can just try to say, oh my gosh, she's in such a good place. I'm happy for her. It changes our perspective just a little bit. They don't want us to be sad. We are, because we love them and we miss them. But if we could focus on the happy times, the memories, the times we shared with them, it eases that burden just a little bit. I wanted to pull a few cards for you today from the Talking to Heaven deck by James Van Praagh. And I thought maybe this might give you a little bit of peace. So if there's someone that you've lost in your life, I want you to think of this person. These are the messages coming out. We have the first one, which I think is so important, which is, now I have no pain. This is one of the things that really got me through this grieving, because it pained and burdened me to see my mom the way she was the last few months of her life. It hurt my heart. I cried and cried before she even died because of her suffering. And so it was a relief to me that she's no longer in pain. We have been together in dreams. So a lot of times our loved ones will come to us in our dreams, and maybe you've had dreams and you wake up and it feels so real, like they've been with you the whole time and visiting with you. And I know I've had several. I dreamt about her all the time, and it did feel very real. And I know that that was her visiting me. Like, our souls can meet up in the dream state, because these bodies are what are bolted down here to this earth. Our souls can leave our bodies when we're sleeping to go and travel and to visit. And so they are able to more easily visit us. So if that feels like a visitation dream, it probably was. I see all of your thoughts. So your loved ones are still with you, and they are around you, and they can still hear you. So keep talking to them. I still talk to my mom. People probably think I'm crazy, but around the house will be like, did you see that, mom? But I still talk to her like she's still there, because they very much still want to be a part of our lives. We have, as a soul, I can be in several places at once. Again, a reminder that they can be around you. They can be with you. When you have those celebrations, they're there. Make them a part of it. That's what we did. For Christmas, we would take pictures where someone was holding a picture of my mom. So it's like, she's still with us. She's still celebrating. And the last one is, I have become one of your guides. So for a lot of you out there, your crossed over loved ones might be guiding you, and maybe sense that. You can get signs from them. And I talk about that in my book too, how we get signs, what signs you get, how to ask for signs. They still send us signs. My mom still sends me signs all the time. She likes to use music. She will send music, and lately it's had to do with sunshine and yellow and different colors, and I know it's her coming through. It's crazy, but she loves to send signs. She loves music, but also cardinals have been around a lot lately. There will be signs for you. You can ask for specific signs, but know that your loved ones, they've never really left. They're just on a different plane. We're in the 3D and they're in the 5D. You will see them again. But until then, they can still very much be a part of your life. I hope that if you are going through the grieving process, that this maybe sends you a little comfort and peace today. Go check out Beautiful Morning. It's on Amazon. Hopefully that will help you to work through this. Know that you're not alone. Every single person on this planet experiences grief. It's a part of the human experience. And all of our experiences are different. But we can work through it. We can get to the other side of it. We can still live a beautiful and amazing life. And in fact, your loved one wants you to live a beautiful and amazing life. So don't stop living. Get out there. Experience life. If you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. I'm sending you guys so much love and light. If you want to work with me, I do one-on-one sessions. You can go to my website, melissaoatman.com. There you can go to the offerings page and see all of the sessions that I offer. You can purchase it from the site and then reach out to me. My email address is on my website. It's also in the show notes. You can reach out and we can schedule it. You can join us on Patreon. On Patreon, I give an extra episode of Awaken Your Inner Awesomeness each week. And I also go live in my Patreon to do a card reading each week. And you can sign up for the all-inclusive membership, which is $10 a month, and join us for the live and get a card reading. You can also just sign up for a free 7-day trial of the all-inclusive membership and join us and see what it's like for the free card reading. I hope you guys have an amazing week. I am sending you so much love and light, and I will talk to you soon. Bye, guys.